God's word is always good and awesome. He's got some things he's going to show us about faith this morning, just right in his own word. You know, I like to use a lot of scriptures and just spend time with that as our central focus, because life is about God and then people. And of course, we are those people. But we're going to press into God this morning and quite a few of his scriptures and just looking at different passages and ways that he has put this the stirring of faith inside of us together. But today, as a title for our message at the Oasis, it's called Faith That Moves Mountains. And I don't know about you guys, but I know in my own life there's, you know, sometimes we feel like we're on a never-ending mountain. There's certain areas of our life, whether it be our job or some particular area, relationship or something, but it seems like a mountain that is just continually going up. But we have opportunities through God and through His Word to be able to get over that mountain, to get that mountain either over it to the other side, to get through the valley, or for literally, like His Word says, to move that mountain out of our way through the words that we're speaking. And so you're going to hear a little bit about speaking words of faith. I mean, speaking words of right out of the scriptures, but also just letting it sink in about your own life, not negating or downplaying some of the things that we go through as an opportunity for our faith to be stretched, exercised, and to grow. And it's pretty awesome, pretty powerful thing. But let's open in prayer. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. We're living in your love and receiving all that you have for us, Lord. We're thankful for the love of Jesus. Thank you for what you did through him. Thank you for using his life for our life, Lord, that we can now live an abundant life in Christ, Father, that we live out our life as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, Lord. We're thankful for your word. Pray that you open it up this morning, Lord. Let it penetrate our ears and our minds. Let it get deep into our hearts, Lord, that it just touches those areas, Lord, that we need the most encouragement, areas that we never thought of, areas that we might need to guide or correct a little bit, Lord, and get us back on that right track with you, Lord, if we've stepped and strayed in any way, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So faith being something that's central to our walk. Like I said earlier, if we're not walking in faith, or if we don't at least have faith to believe on the Son of God, we're not even a believer, right? We're technically in the category of the lost. We're just walking through life kind of aimlessly. And I'm going to talk about different folks kind of like that actually have a reverence, or not so much a reverence, but a fear of God. They know about God. They believe in God. But they really have nothing else coming through their life. They're not living it out in any way. And that categorizes a lot of the people that we encounter every day. So hopefully we'll be able to see that, recognize it, and be able to minister in a little bit deeper way. You know, as we walk by faith in this life, it's going to be tested. Our faith is going to be tested to a certain extent. It's going to be tried to a certain extent. And you could literally think of it as like your faith is going to be put on trial. Okay, where you're cross-examined, so to speak, by the enemy of our minds and the enemy of our souls that says, you don't believe that. You know, that's not true. God's not, you know, that powerful. God can't do that. And he'll begin to kind of counter whatever God has been speaking and saying to you, and even through his scriptures, and you get this stuff on the inside, and the enemy, the devil, comes and tries to plant these seeds of the opposite. So it's kind of like your faith is being tried on a regular basis, like you're being kind of cross-examined on it. But we know that by some of those trials and the things that we go through, we can get a better understanding of right where our faith is. Am I really walking by faith, or am I just kind of have a picture of God out here somewhere and kind of going through life like that? Or where am I at in my faith? We get an understanding of this. So I want to start with a passage in Mark chapter 11. It's got some of my favorite verses right in the middle of it out of the whole Bible. But it's got quite a passage, but it really is going to set the tone then for what we're talking about and where our faith is, where our faith should lie. So Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 20 through 24 says this. It says, "And in the morning they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Now we'll read a little bit before this in a little bit, but you guys kind of remember the fig tree. Jesus spoke to it and it withered up, right? So in the morning they saw the fig tree that dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, says unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And Jesus answering says unto them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believeth that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus says this unto you and I, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's a powerful word from God to you and I. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray and you believe that you receive them, you shall actually have that. I'm going to explain that in pretty good detail in the next few moments. The words that come out of your mouth are so powerful. According to Jesus, they are so powerful. Remember, he just spoke to a tree and it withered up, right? They're marveling at that. So he's saying that the words that come out of your mouth are so powerful that they can move mountains. So he says, therefore, to believe the things that come out of your mouth in prayer, and you will begin to see the fruit of that. Okay, because so often, how often do we pray a prayer, Lord, you know, bless me, bless my family, bless what, you know, and we just kind of say it. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that he is hearing, just like this tree he spoke to, is what we're saying, is it that powerful that it could wither a tree, that it could move a mountain? Do we think that? Do we believe that? Do we experience that? A lot of times we just say a prayer and we're not really putting faith or belief into it. Jesus told them, plain as could be, have faith in God. Okay, he told them exactly how this all works, right? Have faith in God. It's not to be faith in yourself, like I'm a good person, I read my Bible today, so God will hear my prayer and answer it, or you know, I'm a man of God, I'm a woman of God, or you know, that God will hear my prayer. We don't put faith in ourselves. It doesn't say that. And we don't put faith in, like I said earlier, we don't put faith in the object of our prayer. I might be praying for a relationship between my son and or my daughter or my loved one. I might be praying for them to experience the fullness of God. I might be praying for them to know Christ. I might be praying for peace in that marriage. I might be praying for something. I'm not believing for that when I pray. I am believing my God to intervene. And because as I'm praying, a prayer is not a prayer necessarily to an object. You know, Jesus spoke to a tree and it did wither up. That's a possibility. We can and do that. But my prayer for something like that, if I'm praying for somebody else, my faith is in God to intervene in that situation because I'm not there. But my words have power. And that's what he's getting this point across, that you can speak some words in faith and God will move on that. Our faith is to be unfeigned. It's supposed to be, if you look that up, it means unmovable. Okay, our faith should be unmovable, like not swaying back and forth, not being soft. Our faith should be solid. That's another definition of being unfeigned. Okay, it should be without hypocrisy. Okay, and hypocrisy, if you know what the term hypocrisy or hypocrite means, it's a play actor. It's somebody that's playing a role in a play. Right? It's a play actor. They just had a big play here in Rollins this last weekend or a couple weekends ago, and you know, that's they're play acting. They're playing a role. They're not really, you know, John Brown. They are whatever their real name is. They're play acting. So he says that our faith should not be done in that manner, that we're just play acting. We're not faking it till we make it. I know I've used that expression before as a young Christian growing up, man, I'm just faking it till I make it. You know, I don't really know if you know, God can, you know, heal my foot, or God can, you know, do whatever, but I'm just faking it till I make it. I'm just going to pretend like it's happening. And that's not necessarily how we should go about our life as we walk with God. Faith should be like a deep, deep conviction, something that we are so unmovable. You can say whatever you want. I'm not going to go any other direction. My faith is unmovable. It is connected with God. It is a conviction that I will not give up. I will not move on. Okay, and you could probably think in the political arena or the civic arena or different things, there's probably things you're very passionate about, very convicted about, that you're very strong about, that I believe this is the way that it should be and I will not move from that. Your faith should be that solid or that unmovable, that stuck in that deep conviction. It is really a deep knowing inside that you have placed whatever you're praying in or whatever you're putting faith in. You know that you have placed it into the hands of the most powerful force in the universe. That's a conviction. So that when we pray, it's saying, I give this unto your capable hands. that is a conviction that we have, that as we say that and do that, then we begin to see that we believe and receive what we pray for. And I'll talk about the desires that you're praying for, because God has got a kind of a plan or an idea for that as well. So faith is unfeigned, it's unmovable, it's solid. It is not flipping back and forth between being solid one day and weak the next, or soft the next. It is not on one day that, man, I believe God, and then what happens? That little trial of the faith, that little counter word comes in and says, but what about, what about this extra bill you forgot about? What about these things? Now your life's going to be miserable. And so you get this extra little counter thing coming in, and pretty soon, the next day, your faith is not on. Your faith is off. It's like, oh man, life's miserable. I can't do this. I'm not going to make it. And so we start going the other direction. Faith should really be solid, not moving back and forth. You know, in this, even James had said that at one point, exhorting us that when we ask of God, ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a ship tossed about. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, is what he says in James. Okay, but in this life, we're going to go through some things. Okay, anybody agree with that, man? I'd love to not sometimes, but we do go through some things, some trials, some tribulations, some things that are kind of frustrating at times, some things that are going to rock our peace, some things are going to rock our boat a little bit, and it's not going to feel that great all the time. But it's often when you go through that stuff that you get to find out where your faith is. Is my faith in a circumstance? Is my faith in an object, a thing? Or is my faith really in my Creator, my Savior, the one that saved me in the beginning? I'm going to keep putting my faith in Him and my trusting in Him. 1 Peter chapter 4 is our next scripture. He said, to believe, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is going to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, he's talking about having faith to the end, you know, that even though you're going through stuff, that not to get down on it. Now, we'd love to live in a place where we're kind of above the negative, man. Nothing phases me. I just live up here. I live in peace all the time. I never have anything bad happen. We'd love to live in that spot all the time. The reality is that just like Jesus could have lived that way. But just like Jesus, he did have to go through, or he did endure some sufferings as he went. They were, you could call it even trials of his faith. If you remember him in Gethsemane, down on his face praying before God, you know, God, if it's possible, even remove this cup from me. That was a trial. That was a tough one. I mean, the tough one for him as far as what we see in Scripture. I don't see anything else that really swayed him in any way like that one did. But we at times may have to go through some of those tough things. I believe for the people that are here today that you came out because you have a hunger for God. You believe in God. You have some faith. You believe in an almighty God. You believe He sent His Son. We live and we trust in Him. So you've got an element of faith going in your life. I believe that you will then make it through to the other side. You've got that little seed in there that God can work with. That faith that He has given you is still in there, and you're here because of that. So I believe that you can and will make it through to the other side. You will get over that mountain. You will speak to that mountain and it will move to the side. Okay, you will get to the other side of the valley that maybe you're going through. Your faith, your hope is in God. You know, when times get hard in your life, maybe not every time, but most of the time, you're leaning on God. You're trusting in Him. Man, I got nothing else. I don't know where else to turn. And so you trust in Him. Okay, when you've completely exhausted all your own strength and all your natural abilities, which oftentimes we try to use that first, but when we exhaust all that and we're still trusting God after we exhaust everything, then He picks us up and carries us to the top of that mountain, or around it, or through it, or up the valley, or just moves that mountain so it's not there anymore. James said that the trial of your faith works patience. Okay, that's a tough one. You think about not necessarily liking patience so much or having to wait, but patience in a long, like let's say a marathon runner kind of patience, okay? It's not a quick sprint. We're in it for the long haul. So patience is what's going to get us to the end of the race and still be running, right? It's what's going to get us through that. So patience in that sense can be a good thing. It helps you to believe for the long haul. It helps you to keep from believing for a short time and then beginning to waver. Remember the parable of the seeds and Jesus telling them about the parable, and some of it fell among the wayside, some of it fell among thorns. Well, some of it was that it sprung up, but then it withered away because it had no root. You remember that? Okay, so we want to not spring up and wither away because we have no root. We're in it for the long haul. That's where patience comes in, is patiently enduring by faith, trusting in God that God's going to get me through this long, enduring situation that I'm going through. And when you get through that, God just proved that it's possible through you. So the next trial comes up and it doesn't seem so strong. It doesn't seem so long. It makes it a simpler, a little bit easier to get through it. Okay, what it means is that when you go through a difficult time, that's when God finds out, and literally when you find out where your faith is. Are you going to stick with God, or are you going to turn to the ways of the world? Okay, are you going to continue on at that moment with God, saying, God, I'm at the end of myself here, I don't know what to do, but I'm still talking to you? Or have you gotten to that point where you're going through it, and I don't know what else to do, I guess I'll just go buy that six pack, or you know, go do something else. Go the way of the world. Follow a route that is not necessarily the way that God would have you to go. James 2:17 says this. It says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Okay, now he's not talking about doing good works to please God. Somebody asked me after last service, because I'm a grace guy, I love the grace of God, and I preach it a lot. So he asked me about this scripture. What about faith being dead without works if you don't have something to show for it? Well, this is what James was talking about. He's talking about living a life that demonstrates that you trust in him to be your solution. It's about living a life that shows I trust him to provide for my needs. I trust in God to provide for all of my ways. I trust God to give me the guidance I need in any given situation. So that if it comes up, I don't say, I don't know what to do, I guess I'll just make up my own mind. No, when you get to that point, when you're trusting in him, that's when you get to that point and say, I got no answer. My solution is right here. My solution is God. My solution has literally come in me. So you can ask pretty quietly and get your answer to things like that. God is the one that will show you and lead you and give you the direction for every situation that you come up with or come across. He is living a life, James is about living a life that demonstrates that you have faith toward God. Okay? What is your faith in? Is your faith towards, you know, your bank account, your faith towards whatever, or is your faith towards God? Now the scriptures in James continues on here, and this is what I alluded to earlier in verse 19. It says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. That's a good thing. But the devils also believe, and they tremble. Okay? The devils, the demons, most Bibles calls them demons, they believe in God. But I guarantee you that they are not standing with God. They are not going to trust in God. They are not going to rely on him. They are not expecting God to help them in any way. So there is a possibility then for people in our life, maybe, hopefully nobody in here, but maybe somebody we know, it's possible to believe in God, to maybe be afraid of God, have a little fear of trembling of God, but yet we're not believing that God will ever do anything on our behalf. We're not believing that, you know what I'm saying, we are, but somebody might not believe that God will ever do anything for them. Okay, so the devils do not expect God to help them in any way. They tremble at his name. They're afraid to meet him face to face. They're afraid of God in that sense. They're afraid that he is going to talk to them directly, like maybe Jesus did. Remember a couple of examples, but one is he told Satan to get behind me, Satan. He just literally talked to him, told him where to go. Okay, or the man that Jesus was going to cast some devils out, and the devils cry out and says, you know, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to torment us before the time? They knew that Jesus had authority over them. They knew that he had the power to send them wherever he wanted to, but they weren't believing that he was going to do any good or any blessing unto him. So that's kind of the way that a devil would think about it. But there are people today that view God that way, kind of like a demon would. Okay, they believe in him to the point that they know that he has the ultimate authority to cast them into hell or to give them entrance into heaven. They understand that. They get that. And yet they try to avoid God the very best that they can. Keep him at a distance, because God might actually speak something into their life that they're not wanting to hear, that they don't want to hear. They don't want God to talk to them. And now I've been talking to and sharing with a little bit an older gentleman over the last few weeks, and boy, this guy, man, the words that come out of his mouth, he uses GD. You guys know what GD means? You know, GD this and GD that, and it's a natural, fluent part of his language. And for me, that's just, it just, I cringe at it. It's so hard for me to think of my Savior to use his name in that sort of a way. But it, and so you think of his life, and you know, he's obviously not walking with God or not living in that kind of a relationship with him. And yet, last week when a prominent person in his community passed away that he knew very well and that he had spent quite a bit of time with, and they were about the same age kind of thing. And so it began to sink in a little bit about the reality of the finiteness of life. And he began to say things in conversation like, well, yeah, I guess, boy, when it's your time to go, it's just time to go. And you know, when God calls your number, it's just up. And so even though he wouldn't, you know, necessarily isn't walking with God, he still had that understanding and that concept deep down in his heart that God is the ultimate authority on what happens at the point of death. Okay? Now, there's a lot of people out there just like that, that are thinking along that same line, that they have a revelation of God to the point of we know that he is almighty, but they're not living it out. And so that revelation comes that, you know what, at the end, they're still going to meet him. At the end, they're still going to have that conversation with God. So that is still down inside of people. See, the kind of faith that a demon has is not a producing faith. Or like the gentleman I just described, that kind of faith, you know, he may believe in God as the ultimate authority on where you go when you die. But that kind of faith is not what I would call a producing faith. It's not producing any fruit. It's not producing any life. And he's not obviously living from that life, and so it doesn't produce life. Okay? It will not move a mountain, that kind of faith. It will not even move a molehill or an anthill. Okay? It won't even get you through the slightest of trials, tribulations, or troubles. It won't overcome any of those things that go on in our life that we may struggle with. That kind of a faith just doesn't get that done. Two obvious signs I want to give you today that tell you if your faith is in something other than God. If your faith is, you know, hopefully not that kind of faith where we have this outward thing of God that, yeah, we'll meet him and talk to him at the end, but hopefully you'll get this, that there's two signs that can tell you if your faith is in something other than God or if your faith is almost non-existent. I say almost. Okay. Number one would be that your life is not producing any kind of fruit. It's not producing any kind of godly fruit. Okay. That would tell you that your faith is possibly not in God at all. A tree that is not producing fruit is cut down and cast into the fire to be burned. Or in the case of our opening scripture that we read today, a tree that looks good from a distance, that fig tree, looked good from a distance, but upon closer examination, it was found to be empty and fruitless. And it was cursed and it dried up at the roots. Let's read this scripture back in Mark. We'll go back to the before what we read earlier in chapter 11. Just go to the next slide, cowboy. Okay, Mark 11:11 through 14 says, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12 disciples. And on the morrow, the next day, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And verse 13, he says, seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And so Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat the fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now we picked up the next verse after that where they marveled. You know, it goes on, there's a little passage in between there. But then we read earlier that they marveled at that. Lord, Peter said, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. They were marveling at that because this is the encounter that Jesus just had. From a distance, It looked like it probably had something fruitful on it. But upon a closer examination, they realized there was nothing there. It was empty and fruitless. Okay? There's a lot of people like that in our world today. There's a lot of people that are living a life that looks good from a distance. You can acknowledge that they're doing some good things in the community, or they're doing, you know, their life looks like it's all put together or whatever. But upon a closer examination, you'll see that it's empty. It is fruitless. It is vain. It is not producing any of the fruit of God or the Holy Spirit coming through him. It's a pretty powerful thought when you think of that. In another place, Jesus talks a parable. He tears a parable to illustrate the importance of bearing fruit. But he also, at the same time, just so that you don't walk away feeling condemned if you're not producing a lot, he also gives this understanding of compassion and some mercy that he shows upon us as we have the opportunity then to produce some kind of fruit. Look in Luke chapter 13 is where we read this parable. Jesus spoke unto them a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Kind of like Jesus' story, right? Verse 7 says, then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, he said, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it taking up space in my garden, in other words? And verse 80, he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, until I shall dig about it, and I dung it, or I fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, I shall cut it down. I'll get it out of your garden. Now, as I read this passage, I thought of something that I had never realized or thought about that passage before. And the passage of Jesus and the fig tree. When they saw that fig tree afar off, it was not in a vineyard. It was not gathered with a bunch of other fig trees. It was kind of an alone fig tree out in the middle of nowhere, but it had some stuff on it that might look like fruit, so they went to it. That tree ended up being cursed, withered up and died. It dried up from the roots. But the fig tree that was in the vineyard, and I'm going to call this a little vineyard, so you get the picture. The fig tree that was in the vineyard, he came to it and was saying, how come that one is not producing any fruit? Let's just get it out. But the dresser of the vineyard says, Lord, let me work with it. Let me fertilize it. Let me add some scripture to it. Let me feed it. Let me nurture that for a little bit. And the Lord says, go for it. And I believe that that happens in the body of Christ. I believe that is why God calls us together. So that we're not out there like an island. We're not out there like a lone tree trying to draw the nutrients. We can be gathered together with others, with somebody that is praying for you, that is protecting. And, you know, somebody comes and says, cut that tree down. It doesn't look like it's doing anything. I can be the one, the pastor, whoever, can say, no, let's fertilize it some more. Let's keep that one around. I see something there. I see a potential there, and that's what the dresser was saying. I see a potential, Lord. Let me work with it. Okay? And I believe that's a revelation that comes out of that passage of scriptures. You know, the fertilizing of a tree comes through the Word of God. It comes through prayer. So when you're desiring the things that Jesus said in the beginning, that whatsoever things you desire, you shall have when you believe them. So when we're hearing the Word of God, we're being fed and nurtured. When we're praying things that are the things of God. And so then when we're receiving what things soever we desire, we're receiving the things of God. It's just like we're praying for what God desires because we're connected with Him. We understand what He desires. And so my prayers are kind of lining up. And so then as I'm praying the things that I desire, it lines up with God's desires. Done. Okay? And He can do that. He can make that happen. Whatsoever things you desire, believing, you shall receive. When your life is doing that, you will be living an abundant life, producing fruit that is abundant. Spiritual fruit shall be producing through your life. That's the goal. Okay, the second way, I said there was two ways I was going to give you to tell if you're maybe putting your faith in something else other than God. The second way to tell if your faith is in God or if it's in something else is very simple. Three words and a question for you. Do you pray? Okay, prayer is the number one, probably the number one key to tell you where your faith is at. Because if you do not pray, your faith is in something other than God. You're struggling through life. You're making it, but you're not trusting and relying on Him. Do you pray? When things are going good in your life, do you pray and thank God? Do you thank Him for the morning sunshine? Do you thank Him for the, you know, the bird that woke you up that morning at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was? They chirp pretty loudly this time of year. Okay, do you thank God? Do you talk to God about it? Because that's all prayer is, right? It's a relationship that we have with God. And so that's when we're praying, we're relating, we're talking, we're communing, we're having fellowship with God. So do we talk to Him about it, or do we run to the TV to kind of drown out the problem? Do we run to Facebook and type a rant about our situation? Something bad's going on, We type it all out. We don't like it. Okay? What do we do when we go through, when some of the negative things start happening? Do we run to our Bible, or do we run to a bottle? Okay? Where do we go when it comes time to go through those kind of things? Because our faith, remember, is going to be on trial on a regular basis, consistently being tried to find out if we're going to stand with God or not. You'd be surprised how many or how very little some Christians actually pray. You know, we might be church-going people and we might even read our Bible, but we real seldom actually pray a prayer or a prayer of faith where whatever we pray, we believe it and we actually receive that in particular. Even during a rough time, some people will suffer through things on their own instead of going to God or expressing their heart to God and pouring out to Him, sharing with God. But 2 Chronicles 7:14, a pretty famous scripture, says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Okay, God has given us instruction that says, man, just call out to Him. Just seek His face. Just go for Him and anything that we're going through. James says that you have not because you ask not. Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have that. Okay? Many people are struggling through things on their own. They're not reaching out to God in prayer. They're not communicating with Him. Okay, see, in order for God to take the circumstances of your life, whatever you're going through right now, and turn them around for good. Remember the scripture, all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to His purpose, right? In Romans, okay? The thing that makes that happen is faith in God, okay? Not faith in a circumstance, not faith that my things are going to turn around. My faith is in God. I'm trusting in Him. He is my life and my salvation, okay? It takes faith in Him. As much as we do not like those tough times in our life, they provide a perfect opportunity for your faith to be exercised, for your faith to be strengthened, for your rubber band to be stretched, sort of thing. Remember, I've used that expression before, that a rubber band is pretty useless. You can twirl it around your finger, but it's not going to do what it was intended to do until it is stretched around something. And our faith oftentimes is needing to be stretched a little bit in order to produce or to do what it was necessary or desiring to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says this. It says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of the gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found at the end unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You endured unto the end, so to speak. Verse 8 says, "Whom having not seen, and yet you love, in whom we now see Him not, and yet we believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." It's a whole passage about enduring. Okay, not just being faithful for a moment, faithful for a short time. I'm going to walk with God this week. Next week I'm going to, forget it. Okay? It's about enduring and walking in with God and staying strong in Him, staying even unto the end of your faith. See, the faith that it takes to get over mountains, the faith that it takes to climb up out of a valley, or the faith that it takes to speak to a mountain in your way, to move out of your way, has to come from faith in the author and finisher of our faith, the one that wrote the book on the faith, the one that says, this is what faith is, it's in me. That's Jesus. Our faith has to be in Him. It's that kind of faith, it's that kind of strength that can only come from Jesus Christ. We have to lean on Him, depend on Him, and trust in Him more than ever. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, my faith's not in the world system. My faith's not in politics. My faith isn't in whatever. My faith is in Christ. It's in Jesus. That's how I know I'm going to be okay. You know, and I'm going to end with this, that thinking about how we pray and how we communicate to God, it is much easier to pray a prayer in faith, believing that you will receive what you pray, when you pray the words of God Himself. Okay, because you know what God says in Isaiah 55:11, one of my favorites. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. This is God saying, this is my word. His word will prosper in what God says it will prosper in. His word will accomplish what He says it will accomplish. So that is something that we can stand on, believe in, and pray. 2 Timothy 3:15, a similar one, says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus. Again, where our core should be. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be perfect or mature, truly furnished unto all good works. God has things that He wants to do through your life. He has furnished you that through faith in His Son. You keep trusting in His Son. He will cause and help you to walk out exactly what He wants you to walk in. Okay, when the faith has been authored by Jesus, and when that faith is in us, gets stirred up, it gets stirred up in our hearts, and we add to it the truths of the infallible and unstoppable Word of God. And we believe Jesus put this faith in us. Now I'm going to add to that His own word. And we begin to pray and to speak those things. We're going to see more power. We're going to see more of the things that we're praying for coming to pass. It's going to be easier to pray by faith when I need that faith, when I'm praying God's word over my situation. 2 Corinthians 4:13 is our last scripture this morning. He says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Well, we also believe and therefore speak. This is the disciple saying, you know what? This is the way it works now. We believe and therefore we speak what we believe. Okay, so get that inside of you. I can believe the Word of God. I tell people, you know, number one thing, God, the Holy Word of God is the infallible Word of God. There is nothing wrong with it. It is perfect in every single way. It is holy. It is producing. It is life producing. It gives me everything we need to live this life of, you know, godliness. It is all right there, and I can stand on that. So I can pray a prayer of faith, believing, and receive that prayer when I pray the Word of God. I know that it's going to come to pass. I know that it shall happen exactly like the Word of God says. So I encourage you today, as you go forth, have faith toward God. Okay, put your faith in the Creator. Put your faith in the one that made all this stuff, not in the stuff. Put it in the Creator. Put it in your Savior. Trust in Him. Run to Him. Pray to Him. And your life will begin to produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of peace and love and joy, the fruits of patience and kindness and goodness, the long-suffering. These fruits will begin to flourish through your life when we have faith in God. We trust in Him, not as out in outer space somewhere, but this trust, I keep pointing like this, but what I mean is God, okay? He's in here. Okay, I'm just worshiping Him because He's my God. So putting your faith and your trust in Him and just relying on Him, that's where the answer is. That's where our key is. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You this morning. Father, we're grateful as always for Your word. Father, I pray that You have encouraged and used Your own word, Father, to get through to people's hearts this morning. Lord, encourage us in faith, Lord, to trust fully, more fully than ever before in the Lord Jesus Christ, in You and Holy Spirit, to do what You do, to believe on what You have already done, and allow us and guide us and encourage us and strengthen us to live it out, Father. We love You. We're grateful for the life that You've given us, even here, right here in this room and in Rollins and this community, Lord. Pray You use us in a powerful way to bless Your people, bless those that have a reverence or a fear of You, but have not given themselves over unto You. That, Father, You will use us to encourage relationships with God, encourage relationships with You, Father. I just pray these things, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for time together. Thank you for fellowship and friendship and the blood and love of Jesus Christ, Lord, that cleanses us from all our sin, Lord. We love you. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.